I don't know what he thought. He may have thought that everybody went to sleep. I think he actually thought he put everybody to sleep. We'll be right back and find out. That actually was pretty funny. I had to call Jim back, and I think he thought, that you put everybody to sleep or something. Is that what you thought, Jim?
No, there was just silence on the phone for a long time. I was kind of, I thought the show was over, and I was, you know, hoping you would come back on so I could thank you, but then.
No, the show's not over. I've got five lines here, sitting here blinking at me, and people that want to talk to you. So no, it's not
here,
over. You didn't put them to sleep.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. I do want to quickly, though, just give you this latest from CNN. Saudi Arabia's King Fahd, whose reign was marked by unprecedented prosperity, but whose close ties with the United States stirred the passions of Islamic militants, has died. The Saudi monarch had been in and out of the hospital in recent months, most recently suffering from pneumonia-like symptoms. Fahd yielded day-to-day control of the kingdom a decade ago after suffering a stroke. So with that in mind, one might imagine that not very much is going to change, but I guess that tells you, you know, how important energy is to us. When the king of Saudi Arabia dies, it flashes across the world as a gigantic bullet. I guess it would for any king, but I mean, the king of Saudi Arabia is very, very important, and Saudi Arabia is very important to us, isn't it, Jim?
Oh, definitely. I've heard some good things recently that they're actually installing a lot of solar in Saudi Arabia, which would why not keep your oil reserves and get your energy in a different way?
That's kind of an interesting thing you've just said, that Saudi Arabia is putting in a lot of, are they really solar energy?
I haven't done any exhaustive research, but I know I get a lot of emails along these lines, and I know I just read something recently, and it was saying that they were doing it, and I think it's a very wide, you know, that's what they should be doing in Iraq as well, and in Iran, instead of building nuclear power plants.
Well, you see, Iran may actually want more than nuclear power. They may be more interested, Jim, in the byproduct.
Well, you know, that's a whole nother story.
Yes. Yeah. It is and it isn't, Jim. The byproduct, of course, would be enriched plutonium, which could be used to make atomic bombs, which could be used against us, which may be used against us, and really a lot of it centers around United States policy in the world, and that policy is shaped to a large degree by our needs, our energy needs. None of that could be denied, could it, Jim?
Well, you would, if you look at it this way, if we were completely renewable energy self-sufficient in this country, which we could easily could actually accomplish, and we were helping those other countries do the same in their own countries, I think most of this conflict would go away.
Well, you're probably partially right. A lot of the conflict comes from very deeply held opposite convictions about things.
I don't think that's really true, you know, because say we hadn't gone to war, and we would have treated, you know, what happened in 9/11 as a criminal act, and we would have done the investigation and arrested, you know, people when we got them, you know, like we did in Sarajevo and places like that, you know, like, I mean, once they really got down to doing the legal thing and trying an abstention and all that, I mean, we haven't tried Osama bin Laden in abstention. We haven't even tried, now that we have Saddam Hussein, we haven't even tried him. You know, I thought it was, as tragic as 9/11 was, it would have been a wonderful thing if we would have actually used that opportunity to show how a country run on a constitution with a free society, that's run under law, you know, treats crime. Instead of, we seemed, you know, like politically, we sort of we regressed to the very same tactics that the people we, you know, call so evil are using. And the other thing is that if we would have just left it alone, we were already winning the war just through, television and I Love Lucy and music you know, all the cultural things that, that were happening. What we did is we created the environment where we, where say the individual allies in these countries were, you know, were subdued or less enthusiastic, and we emboldened the, you know, the radicals.
Yes, but Jim, those radicals seem to believe that we should be converted or killed. Now that's
but I think
very...
that there's, you know, there are Christian fundamentalists in this country that would, you know, say, you know, some of them have done some terrorist things, but and I'm not trying to blame anybody or anything like that, but it's, you know, people hold strong views, but usually those views manifest in any kind of organized way, you know, once they're agitated. And if we were doing
well, you're right about that. We're
promoting,
certainly,
you know, promoting democracy, really promoting democracy around the world all these years, I don't think most of these conflicts wouldn't even exist.
Yeah, we are agitating, Jim. There's no question about that. We're making it worse, but it was already bad, and certainly Islamic fundamentalism is growing, amazingly growing.
But we push the youth. I mean, instead of the youth wanting freedom and rock and roll and yeah. latest clothes and all that, no. now they have a reason to, you know, become suicide bombers.
All right. A lot of people want to talk to you, so let me do that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Jim Bell. Hi.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call, Art.
You bet.
Your caller earlier made a statement about China. They're having, like, rolling blackouts and
yes.
that. Well, I honestly believe that that's one of the main reasons everything was orchestrated and why we're in Iraq is to keep their war machines down. War machines will always run on fossil fuel in our lifetime. If we have every house with solar panels, that would be great. I'm all for that. But our war machines will not run on solar energy.
Yet.
And until that time comes, we have to rely on fossil fuel. And I honestly believe China was preparing to make a move to collect oil, to get oil, to take it by force if necessary. They're rattling their sabers against Taiwan and even against us. Rogue general threatened nuclear attack.
Caller, just a quick sort of poll
sure.
question. If China makes a move on Taiwan right now, do you think the United States should stand behind Taiwan, risking nuclear war over Taiwan, or step back and say, okay, China, she's yours?
No, we're going to have to, it'd have to be a United Nations deal, but I think we're going to have to step in and not let China do as they do. I don't believe a nuclear conflict will come about.
Okay, all right. Well,
they're more interested in oil reserves. They can't, of course, if they don't have oil reserves, then... all the only thing they have left is nuclear, so it is a tough question to answer, I guess.
Yeah, the whole China question is a very, very tough one, Jim. They're going to have they're beginning to get now immense requirements for fossil fuels.
Yeah, there were, you know, the whole issue with trying to buy Unocal.
So as bad as the situation may be, in the rest of the world, this whole China thing is coming up faster than anybody thought, having more of an effect than anybody thought, and driving up the price like crazy. So I suppose from your point of view, it'll just hasten the development of everything you've been talking about this morning, yes?
Well, you know, it's, if it happens too fast, we won't have time. I mean, even, you know, in the book I lay out a very aggressive plan to make the San Diego County renewable energy self-sufficient, and even that plan would take 27 years. I mean, that's spending, you know, spending more money than would really make sense to spend initially, and we don't even have enough trained workers.
Do we have 25 years, Jim?
Well, I'm hoping we do. You know, it's like the way I look at it is the closer any region or country becomes to becoming renewable energy self-sufficient, the better able they're going to be able to withstand whatever comes our way on the energy front.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Jim Bell. Good morning.
Yes, Art, good morning.
Where are you?
Yes, in La Jolla, California.
La Jolla, okay.
Yes, and actually I wanted to say hello to my friend Jim Bell. We're fellow alumni from Claremont High School in San Diego.
Oh.
Yes.
Hi.
And hi, Jim. It's great to hear you. It kind of blew me away when I heard earlier that you were going to be on the show. And I would like to say in your defense that I know you know what you're talking about. When Art was pressing you earlier for companies to name that are in the energy conservation service and that kind of thing, if you look in the current San Diego Yellow Pages, you will find 14 companies under energy conservation and energy consulting and documentation.
All right, so you're saying all the names of the companies are there?
They are there.
Yeah, I don't mind naming them.
Well, I don't want to do that either because I'm not in the, and I'm not on Jim's behalf, on behalf of his book, but he has run for mayor down here a couple of times.
Well, it's unusual that my callers are more unwilling than myself to name names, but it's
well,
a happy
no, there are there are over two dozen energy companies here that provide cogeneration, home energy conservation, as you have done with your place in Pahrump and so on. And it has everything to do with solar panels and the rest.
Well, it sounds like it's become cheaper and more efficient since I did it. But still, let's see, eight to 9 years.
Yeah, and that's if you're doing it as an individual. I mean, if you have a, you know, like you actually have leadership in a community on the political level, and you do this efficiently, and you set up the parameters. I mean, like the energy service company is not interested in your home because it's too small of a
sure,
project by
sure.
itself. But if it's a whole neighborhood, then they're totally interested.
No, but I'm still, and I ask the question on behalf of all the homeowners because I want to know, and I think a lot of them want to know. Can I do it? Would it be reasonable for me to do it? And a payback of 8 or 9 years for an individual, I think, is kind of encouraging.
It kind of depends on how much energy you use. I mean, like if you're a bigger, if you're like a more middle class or more affluent family, it's probably going to work better, for you. I mean, if you're like a, you're a low income and it's going to take, because you're not using so much energy, so the amount of money you have to actually, make the payback over time is
absolutely
less.
Yeah, sure. I've got it.
That's why you want to average it together instead of having these companies just pick the low-hanging fruit. We want them to we want you to have a good return, but we want you to maximize the efficiency improvements because that's what really improves the economic picture of the local economy.
Okay. You're on the air with Jim Bell. Good morning. What is your first name, please? Now you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. What is your first name, please?
David.
And where are you, David?
I'm off the coast of Vancouver Island,
right.
British Columbia.
Absolutely excellent. Well, welcome.
Well, thank you very much. Good morning, Art. Good morning, Jim. I am very impressed by your... Jim, it's about time finally someone came out. I don't have internet access or email or anything like that. I live on the ocean. But I have a friend who is living in a sprayed concrete, 7.5 feet underground, that is a constant 14 degrees Celsius, no matter if it's rainforest winter or summer. He has set my vessel up fully solar, fully wind, and he's working on energy for a propulsion system that is completely magnetic electric. And eventually I hope to get it, but I'm just calling basically to tell the world and whoever else is listening that it's about time someone came up with this kind of concept just to say it to the rest of the world.
Good enough.
Yeah, it's like the Emperor's New Clothes story, and your friend is a pioneer, and that's the inventive spirit of the United States, and really everybody has that in them, and we're the leader of that, and if we do the right things, we will there'll be so many ideas. Like the things I'm proposing will seem quaint.
Well, I'm from Canada myself, but he also has water troughs and reserves for people if it ever came necessary.
Sure.
So he's got waterfalls and reserve tanks, and he's got a hot water heater built on my vessel, which is the simplest thing you could possibly imagine. A little bit of black spray paint, a piece of glass, and a nice small little unit that gets the water temperature in 15 minutes on a sunny day. Up to 140 degrees Celsius.
Wow. So that's there you have it. It's a good example. The truth of the matter is all of these things really can be done. And all it comes down to is the dollar. It always comes down to the dollar. And how much it costs to do them and how much it costs not to do them.
Well, I think it comes down to leadership. You know, like we have a dearth of leadership in our country and in our world right now. Everybody is kind of going along to get along, and everybody's afraid to say the truth. And I think
the one guy who ought not be afraid to say the truth is our president. And no Bush bash here, just the facts, if you would, sir. And I'm curious how you would rate our president.
You know, he's a dinosaur, like the fossil fuels that he tries to keep us hooked to.
Okay. I thought you might be afraid to say whatever you thought, but that obviously was not the case.
I feel he's, you know, he's got bad advisors. He's sorely misinformed and doesn't seem to want to have anybody else to, you know, and this is not just true for him. It's true of a lot of politicians that they, you know, they get in there and it's just the game and they lose sight of why they wanted to run for office in the first place.
You would think that the safety, the welfare, the prosperity of the American citizens would be like the number one thing on a president's mind.
Well, you know, I think it was the number one thing on George Washington's mind. I think it was the number one thing on Abraham Lincoln's mind. I think it was the number one thing on Teddy Roosevelt's mind. I think it was number one thing on a lot of presidents' mind. But I think we've kind of gone astray.
Well, you named some pretty liberal leadership.
Teddy was a Republican.
Well, some, yeah. Too. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Jim Bell. Hi.
My name is Mike.
Yes, Mike.
I live in Layton, Utah, previously a resident of Northern California. And many of the things that you've been talking about, it's like I've seen different attempts with people in cities. One, I believe, was Colfax, Northern California, where the city was so tired of their high utility bills that they actually went to using recycling their sewage and producing methane and other forms to for the municipal buildings, and they found that it was paying back very well.
All right, hold it right there. I mean, that's enough for us. Methane, just saying the word methane, there are a lot of projects in this area. Jim, what about methane as a source of power?
Well, you know, we can produce all the energy we need with solar, but we, you know, sometimes electricity isn't the best energy source to get the job done that we want to get done.
There are others.
So you can use solar, like methane works best when the temperature is about 95 degrees. So you can use solar energy to maintain the temperature so you don't have to waste energy. You know, you don't have to burn some of the gas you're producing to maintain the temperature.
Fair to say you're really a solar advocate, aren't you?
Well, I mean, all renewable energy.
Wind, for example. I understand wind, Jim, is cheaper than solar.
Well, if you're in an area where you have good wind, I would be all over that and would be recommending wind. Here in San Diego, we don't have, you know, we have some wind up in the backcountry, but
right.
It's not really sufficient.
Once again, here's Jim Bell. Jim, Joe from Richfield Springs, New York says, Art, you know, one thing always avoided when anybody, any of your guests talk about oil, not just energy use, is the fact that most products, most things, are made of petroleum one way or the other, or their compounds. Thus, although there are other energy sources, we cannot and will not eliminate oil. So President Bush or any other leader for national security right now has got to have oil. And I just noticed that for some reason we've lost Jim again. Maybe Jim, once again, thinks the program is over. I don't know. We'll call him back and find out. Maybe he didn't know how long his stay on the air would be. Anyway, it's kind of fun. I think once again, he probably concluded that he put you all to sleep or that the program was over. I really don't know. We'll find out. Jim?
Sorry about that.
What happened?
I was holding the phone to my shoulder trying to do something with my other hand, and my chin pushed some button. I don't even know what happened.
I see. All right.
Yeah.
Well, tragedy like that aside, I asked you a really good question from Joe in New York. Did you hear it?
I did not.
Not figures. All right. Joe says art look. The one thing that always is avoided when any of your guests, you know, people talk about oils, not just energy use, it's the fact that most products are made of petroleum compounds. Thus, although there are other energy sources, we can't eliminate oil. So President Bush, or any other leader for that matter, needs oil anyway.
Yeah, with those, I mean, he's right. But in terms of the oil and other fossil fuels we use for energy, even the plastics industry is, you know, it's pretty small potatoes in the bigger picture. And anything, I mean, since oil is ultimately made out of plants, anything made from oil can ultimately be made out of plants.
Okay, well, that's a good answer. All right, first-time caller line, you're on the air with Jim Bell. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
Good to hear you all talking about this. I just, through being part of a family who's worked in the energy industry, have, I don't know, just some, you know, absorbed some knowledge through dinner table discussions. And my father was talking about something that I thought I wanted to hear your comments on, which was he thinks the future is certainly solar and renewable energy sources combined with whatever's left in the older grid. But the whole idea is the way we have distributed computing today, he thinks the best way to go about integrating more power with less environmental impact would be integrating small fuel cells, solar cells, in a sort of like a distributed network.
A distributed grid, of course. Joe, or I'm sorry, Jim, what about that?
Well, I mean, like when I look at our region here, I mean, initially we can use the grid as a battery. You know, as we're, you know, doing this, we're going to be pushing, the goal is to produce more kilowatt hours into the grid.
Yes, but the question was, why not use the whole country that way? Country's grid.
Oh, definitely. I mean, well, now, you know, there's the Western States grid and there's other grids, so we're not necessarily completely connected to the whole country, but we're connected to Canada, so it's a pretty big, you know, it's a pretty big grid. And initially we would be, you know, basically pushing energy into the grid and then buying it back at nighttime. But, you know, eventually we'd want to get completely free of fossil fuels, and that would mean we'd have to develop some storage. And there's some excellent storage, you know, processes like pump storage is used in the hydroelectric industry right now because they don't like to change the speed of the generators or the turbines.
Right.
So at nighttime, they're still producing the same amount of power, but nobody wants to buy it. So they use it to pump the water from the bottom of the dam back into the dam, and that's about 90% efficient.
Wow.
I mean, here in San Diego, we could pump salt water up to the top of the mountain and use something like that or even, you know, do it with fresh water.
It's about 90% efficient. I'm caught on that. That's quite a statement.
Yeah.
To actually pump the water back up the hill and then let it fall again is 90% efficient.
And it's more cost effective because of the benefit of the reducing the wear and tear on the turbines.
Uh-huh. All right, Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Jim Bell. Good morning.
Good morning, Art.
Yes, sir.
Bill calling from Jacksonville.
Okay.
I thought you might want to talk to Jim about your zero point energy there on your antenna that you've got. and the next thing I was going to say is I subscribe to the Sea Crane or the Sea Crane catalog, and the LED light bulbs in there are like $32, $37.
Yeah, you're bringing up a real good point. All right, two good points. I'll address both. One is the so-called zero-point energy in my antenna, hogwash. I never said any such thing. I said there was energy there, a lot of voltage, and probably not very much current. It hasn't all been, you know, measured yet, but nor do we even know for sure that it might not be power line coupling or God knows what. It is a strange mystery. I'll give you that. We'll test it. We'll let you know. I doubt there's much there, although who knows what science could bring us as, you know, with that as a starting point. Having said that, Jim, you want to take on the rest of what he had to say?
Initially with the whole zero power idea, you know, I think we should keep researching, but it's kind of hard to beat a 25-year warranty.
That's right.
With solar panels, and even in a way, a longer warranty for double glazed windows and insulation, and you know, skylights and things that you know will last the life of the building.
Maybe. You actually had a question for some reason here about UFOs and space visitors and that kind of thing. How did you manage to throw it, or did you just toss that in here so you'd have some sort of relevant question for some of this audience?
Well, it was kind of a funny thing because I think the last time I heard you have never seen a flying saucer yourself.
That's wrong.
But
No. I've had two sightings.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Jim.
Okay. Well, I had one. And this was when I was a kid. I was 10 years old, and I was actually living in Carlsbad, New Mexico, kind of outside Carlsbad, New Mexico. And, you know, I had no idea or even imagined anything like a flying saucer. I went over to some kid's house, and they had captured some ground squirrels and had them in cages. So I'm 10 years old. You know, I'm fascinated by the animals. And it was kind of like a Sunday. It must have been a Sunday or Saturday because there was a lot of adults around there kind of talking over the fence. It was
yes.
like a housing project. And
yes.
and somebody said, look up, and everybody ended up looking up, and there was this big white cloud, and then below the cloud was this shiny disc, and it wasn't like a wiggly light or anything like, you know, that you see on TV and all that.
All right. Let me make
like a jet plane. You know?
Let me make an attempt at making these two relate to each other.
Okay.
Any civilization capable of exceeding the speed of light to get here to visit us, Jim, mm-hmm. would have to have a source of energy that would be thousands ahead, years ahead of where we might be right now. I bet hundreds at least of years. And in other words, and there's leaders in ufology who are taking this angle that the science we would learn from visitors would save us in terms of energy. So, you know, it does kind of fit in a way.
Well, I agree with you because the way I looked at it was, you know, because I had that experience and this, you know, this was like a jet and, you know, and it flew straight. It wasn't wiggly or wobbly. It was shiny. It was, you know, sort of silver, aluminum colored, and it came toward us and it went, took a 90 degree up and then disappeared into the cloud. And that was it, you know, and it was.
Well, congratulations.
And I didn't really register because I was 10 years old, but I remember it kind of impressed me with the adults. Like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yes, but some leaders like Stephen Greer are saying, yes, it's real. Now, you've seen it with your own eyes, so you might even say, yes, it's real.
Yeah.
That we are being visited by something.
Yeah.
And as Dr. Greer points out, the energy from a device like that could save the world.
Well, you know, it's the way I look at it is until these people, beings, whatever, who are, if they are there and are who are visiting us, either start helping us to create a life support sustaining economy and way of life, or get in our way, I think it's just titillation. We're the biggest threat to our planet's life support system.
Titillation, that's right. So until they hand us a schematic and say, here, build this and your trouble's over, we had better get moving, right?
And I don't want to dismiss zero point energy or anything. Nor do I. Let's keep looking. But we don't have to, you know, we can solve our problems right now. We have the technology we need, and it's warranted for 25 years.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jim. You know, he who helps himself, you know, probably gets help from God and all that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Jim Bell. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Art. This is Kinte. I'm calling from Iowa.
Yes.
You're a scholar and a gentleman, and it's a privilege to talk to you.
Privilege and to have you.
The bells are ringing tonight.
All right.
I have a couple questions, one for you and perhaps our guest. Have you heard any technology on the quantum dot or the solar paint that you mentioned
Yeah, the
solar back?
The solar paint, I think, is off the chart interesting. So, Jim, what about that? Have you heard about this new solar?
Probably about as much as you have, but I just say bring it on. Like, we're clever. All we have to do is, like, mesh that with some wisdom, and we're home free. I think, you know, like I said earlier, I think what I'm presenting is probably going to seem quaint, you know, once more people start putting their mind and, you know, instead of thinking about how horrible it is and we're hopeless, that they start going, well, gee, what can I do to contribute to solving the problem?
That's my second question actually leads to that. How can one get a job being an ecological designer is what you are?
And yeah. And don't people with your jobs frequently starve to death, Jim.
Well, you know, it's a little bit of an engineering feat in a way, but you know, just so everybody knows, I eat regular, really good food, and I have a warm place to sleep and dry place to sleep and have a lot of fun, and I'm not so oriented toward money. Like, money isn't my major.
That's clear. Yeah. That's clear. You're giving your book away, so.
Well, I mean, in a way, you know, if you just look at it from a selfish perspective, giving the book away will probably get me more money than if I tried to sell it, if that was really my interest.
Well, I think, Jim, when we finally get millionaire people like you, then we'll really be there. In the meantime, you're like starving artists.
Well, I'm not starving at all. Matter of fact, I got a little.
Well, no, I got
the
three meals a day. All right. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Jim Bell. Hello.
Yeah, hello. Good morning. I just want to compliment you and thank you yourself, sir, because you've kept me awake most nights. And so I want to thank you very much because you've got Starbucks beat, I want to say.
Thank you. So you can keep them awake award. Cool.
Oh, absolutely. So my question I'm going to take off the air. I'm actually also in Canada, and I also live on Vancouver Island. And I was just wondering if I could ask your guest's impressions and if he's aware of this new, process that they've been going through with local, there's a company in Canada called Canadian Tire, and they've been putting out these integrated power packs that they sell in addition with solar cells.
Oh, yes.
That was just, I've bought three of them and actually bought the solar panels that come with them.
No kidding. Tell us about them. What do they do? Well, how much?
The basic unit started anywhere from about $80 Canadian to about $200 Canadian. And the solar panels that they sell along that line are about the same. And I actually bought three of the heavy-duty units.
Right.
And I put my entire cabin on this. And it cost me just about $750 for the whole entire thing. Now, my cabin's hydro bill before that averaged about $600 a year.
Right.
And since then, I've been able to take the entire thing off the grid. This includes fridges, TVs, microwaves, the whole nine yards.
All right, that's very impressive. And again, for an investment of how much totally?
$750, and I was able to buy it right from the Canadian Tire, which is my equivalent of a local hardware store and sporting goods store.
And so this is it's solar panels plus. What?
Well, the solar panels come individually. The solar panels, actually, this setup comes with conventional plug-ins, as well as plug-ins cigarette lighter.
Hold it.
So
slow
forth.
Down. Stop. The solar panels plus what device?
Well, they're separate units, sir. So what you do is you can buy a solar panel that'll either plug into the wall or plug into a cigarette lighter conventional. So you can either do car batteries with these things or plug them into the power pack with its cigarette lighter and charge the unit.
So it's like
that's
a battery
what I
too.
Do.
It's
all
like
right,
a
all right. So, Jim, this fellow's talking about spending, what was it, hundreds of dollars.
It depends on how much you use. I mean, if you are very efficient at using energy and getting whatever you need to get done. I talked with a guy a few years ago. He was up in, in Vermont or Maine or something like that, and he was like bragging to me about how he basically ran a computer business and he ran it all on solar. And I'm going, we're here in San Diego and we're, what do you, and he was using a relatively small number of panels, So he.
Well, all right. There have been a number.
Have you heard of Home Power? Home Power.
I
magazine?
Have. Of course,
they do
course,
excellent work.
Of course, I have. Now, and of course, C. Crane Company. They are very, very, very ecologically minded.
I wrote down the offer. The number for the offer because I wanted to get one of those radios, but it was a lot of my price.
Yeah, absolutely. It's serious stuff. I mean, these are some of the adjuncts you use to alternative power. They are sort of little alternative power things, but they meet needs.
Yeah.
These new
I do have one of their wind-ups.
These new lights are incredible. These LED white LED lights.
You know, I went to a workshop recently and they didn't really save energy in terms of amount of lumens like fluorescents do. I mean, the fluorescents have their problems too, but
man, they got ones you can screw into 110 volt sockets now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're absolutely amazing. I mean, they'll be alive and going after we're dead.
Well, and these are the positive things that are there, and it's almost like all I'm talking about is integrating them, you know, so that we look at it, you know, as a whole community, as a whole region, or even as a whole country. I mean, like right now, I don't know what the exact number is, but I would bet it's in excess of $100 billion a year that we export out of our country just to pay for imported oil.
All right. Very quickly, east of the Rockies, you're on the air with Jim Bell. Hi.
The energy spent on World War I was 3 times all previous history. World War II was 7 times. I'd like your guest to estimate what the Cold War cost up to the Berlin Wall.
Huh.
And even if we're getting more efficient at killing one another, as long as the competition between people is violent, it distorts all other priorities that this man wants us to work on.
All right, that's a fair statement to work with right there. Jim?
Well, you know, it's kind of like I figured out a long time ago, the only person that I can change is me. And so I'm working on it. I figured, hey, life is short, and I care about the future, and I think most people do too. You know, they just have lost track of it. And you know, because I care, I look at the world and I say, well, what can I do? And so I try to do what I can do. And if I, you know, if me trying to fix myself or improve myself, help other people do the same for themselves, you know, that's what we have to go to. Everybody has to really get in the driver's seat of their own life.
Congratulations, Jim. That is what you have done. Your book is available on your website. Now we are ending the show, by the way.
Okay.
And it's www.jimbell.com. That's simple. And you can download his book. And the title of that again, Jim?
You click on Jim's new book, and the title is Achieving Eco... No, I'm sorry. I was giving you the title of the old book. The title is Creating a Sustainable Economy and Future on Our Planet, the San Diego-Tijuana Region, a Case Study. So it's in the nuts and bolts. Yeah.
It, good enough. Buddy, thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. Good luck with all you do.
And thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity.